Since I've been sick this week, I did not plunge into another pre-incarnate sermon in the series. But there's been something on my mind for some time. I've made some comments about it. I want to divert into that this morning regarding gatekeepers. So Ezekiel 22, verse 29. The people of the land have practiced oppression and committed robbery. They have wronged the poor and needy and have oppressed the sojourner without justice. I search for a man among them who would build up the wall, stand in the gap before me for the land, so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one. Thus I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their way I have brought upon their heads, declares the Lord God. Let's pray. Lord, the day we live in often we think of as such an unusual time, a time that in history is there's none like it, that the wickedness and the perversity of today, how twisted the world has become in just the last few years, more so than in previous generation, that we would think this is the worst ever. And yet, Lord, we see in your word that the principles and the practices of wicked men are consistent throughout. May not be the same audacity, the same application of evil, but the same principle at work, and many awful things taking place. And in the blindness of human depravity, they're not fearful. The world is not concerned other than with those who want to correct it. So it is a very twisted time. May Lord, your people, knowing your word, be encouraged by that and not dragged down by the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Society is filled with walls and gates and occasionally gatekeepers. A lot of houses have fences and gates to keep in their pets or provide some security or some such as that. Very, very common. I don't say much about our mansion in California that Cindy and I own on a hill overlooking the ocean. We had to, buy the property up on the hill there and just a mile or so from Clint Eastwood. And we had a road built up to the house and the house built and all that. And we put a wall around the mansion that we built there. And we put a gate in there and we put a gatekeeper there. And a lot of people in that area do the same thing. So if someone wants to come up to the mansion and we don't want them to come in, then the gatekeeper stops that, because we're here most of the time. As you know, the gatekeeper's job there is to keep people out that we do not wish to enter. I'm just not being snobbish, I don't think. We want the gatekeeper to intercept thieves and vandals and broccoli planters and Martians, among others. Because California is a dangerous place. One city in California has just promised an income, a guaranteed income to everybody in the city as long as they are LGBTQ or non-binary. This is how crazy California is, and that's just probably the tip of the iceberg. So, we have a gate and a gatekeeper. And the gate itself is not enough to keep undesirables out. You can't just put a sign up in front of your house and say, keep out, or don't do any burgling here, or don't do any, vandalism here. But people will ignore that. You can't just build a fort somebody has to man the fort. You can put up the walls, the towers. You can put the door in, the gate, and it will be taken if there aren't people there manning the fort. So when you look at our society, one thing that we are constantly thinking and asking is, where did all the gatekeepers go? Where are the people who are saying no to the crazy, perverse generation that we're in? Our world considers it the most loving thing to drop all moral standards, the absolute standards of the scripture. They consider it hateful and mean-spirited if you have standards, and loving if you just drop all of them. That is exactly the opposite of what true love is. Parents in our nation have in many, many, many cases surrendered the gatekeeping of their children to others, to schools, to TV, and to social media. Parents aren't being careful. One of the most dangerous places in the nation today is a public school. Depending on where you are, it's going to be extremely bad, but it has to be. You have to watch out. You know, we used to say TV was dangerous. It still is. But, you know, there's channels on that. Kid goes to school or has social media interaction all the time. And the turns out that the gatekeeping schools are supposed to do, they've opened them all up wide. The floodgates are open. And our land is littered with cowards who will not stand in the gap and say no. I mean, how refreshing would it be if we just hear somebody say no to all this madness instead of trying to accommodate it? Nancy Reagan, during the time President Reagan, of course, was president, launched the Just Say No to Drugs campaign. Well, I mean, it was kind of simplistic. It's not really that effective overall from a drug dependency, but you know, that is where it really would stop if somebody's just said, no, I'm not going to take them. We're not going to allow them in. I mean, whatever we can do. Our society still says no, but they say no to God. They say yes to every crackpot and no to God and His word. I mean, we're impressionable. Some people are very weak in their spine if they have one. And the least little suggestion of something being normal and right that God calls wicked and evil, well, they bend over backwards to try to do it or accommodate it. They feel guilty when they shouldn't feel guilty. And they start acting in a way that is unprincipled. And we see it all around. And so the filters that God has placed in society are not working. Filters are supposed to protect us. David could tell you a lot about water filters and how water filters have to be in place and functioning properly, or you get dirty water. Well, the water in our society is not just dirty, it's poisonous. And the reason is, I think, at the heart of it, is that people are not anchored to Christ. Our world is not anchored to an absolute foundation. And so they don't have an investment and a commitment to what is right. So when someone comes along and says, well, this is right, well, they have no backbone. They're not committed to anything else. They just get blown about by the breeze. They move in the direction of the opinions of society. And as a result, it's poison. And every day you're just getting something else that you can't believe, that's so outlandish. When in Ezekiel, at this part of Ezekiel 22, Ezekiel was in Babylon, and the word of the Lord came to him in Babylon, and he was there because the Lord had begun to exile Israel to Babylon because of their sin. And there was still, though, in those initial exiles, which I think it turned out to be like three separate ones until the end, was for the sake of warning them. It's like you see rust on something and you get to trying to get the rust fixed, and you get some rust prevention on those metal parts and keep it from being destroyed. Well, the exile, total exile, could have been avoided if they would turn to God per his cause via his prophets. And so God sent the prophets to the people, and he called them to return to him, and he would not destroy the land. And 2 Chronicles 36, verse 15, history of Judah at the end, the Lord God, verse 15, the Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them again and again by his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. So God in his compassion, I like when it says some of the translations and parallels that he rose early and sent the prophets. He was eager not to judge the nation. But verse 16 says they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, until there was no remedy. And so when the Lord speaks to Ezekiel, he mentions that the fall is coming because there's no gatekeeper. There's no one to stand in the gap for the nation. If you look back up, let's first of all look at the condition of Judah. If you look back up from our text to verse 25, it says there is a conspiracy of her prophets in her midst, like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured lives. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in the midst of her. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane, and they have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean, and they hide their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes within her are like wolves tearing the prey by shedding blood and destroying lives in order to get dishonest gain. Her prophets have smeared whitewash for them, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. So you see, when he traces the evil of the nation of Judah, it's every institution that is supposed to keep out the evil. The prophets, verse 25 says, were devouring the lives of people for their own gain. The prophet was to speak the law of God, to be a gatekeeper, to keep God's judgment away and God's favor within. Instead, they serve themselves. The prophets, verse 28, also said they whitewashed lies and proclaimed error as truth. This is exactly what's going on today, not with prophets of God, but with prophets of the secular world system. They're changing all the laws. They're whitewashing them to make them look like they're okay. The prophets were to call out sin. and to call for repentance. These are both very harmful, hurtful things. Sin, to have someone call you a sinner, and to call somebody to leave a sin when people so much want to do it. And the prophets instead encouraged sin. And they whitewashed sin and made it look okay. And comforted the impenitent. We have a word for that today. It's used all the time. And I'll mention again in a moment a big use of it this past week. It's called to affirm or affirmation. When you don't repent of sin, you affirm it. When you don't call sin sin, you call it something that is okay, because when you affirm something, you're saying it's okay instead of condemning it. So it's affirming today. It's such a positive word in our society to deny sin and affirm it. And the priests are mentioned, the prophets, the priests. The priests had profaned God's holy things. You know, they were supposed to set up the worship of God, that which was pleasing to God, that which was displeasing to God. They were to separate unholy and holy things. They were to make the worship of God pure. They were to direct the nation to that. And it says that they just blended everything together and they mixed it all up. And now there was nothing considered unholy and nothing considered holy. It just was all the same. And there was no distinction. And that they ignored God's Sabbath, verse 26 says. The Sabbath was the nation's focus on God day, as to keep them in touch with God. Well, they defiled that. They profaned that. They essentially pushed the nation into a secular state. You know, it's our Sunday, the Lord's Day in this country, to Christians means something, but it's just a secular thing. To the world, it's a weekend. This is what the priest did. You know, with friends like that who needs enemies, the priest was supposed to keep us in tune to God, worshiping God, and all that, and they did not. It means they perverted the things of God with things that they were pleased with. They replaced God's pleasure with theirs. If they were happy with it, then they've said God had to be happy with it. And again, this is exactly the mentality that people take today, that if God is, not for something, therefore, well, then God needs to change and God needs to get on board with the new stuff. Because what people today want is what they want. If they're happy with sin, they expect God to be happy with sin. They expect the church to be happy with sin. Or you're a hate monger. Now, the princes are also mentioned, the prophets, the priests, and the princes. You got secular and sacred both. The whole of society, the princes are the, you know, sons of the kings. These are the officials. These are the government officials. It says they were like wolves tearing the prey, shedding blood, and destroying lives for dishonest gain. Now, verse 27 says that. That's a shocker, isn't it? You ever get the wild idea that the Congress, the president, the government in general is not for you? They're for themselves. You ever think that maybe the money that's being spent and the taxes being there, they're being levied on us, not for us, but for them? That's what it says happened here that made God so angry with Judah, is that they were those who were supposed to be protecting and, you know, providing the proper defense for the nation. They were serving themselves. Do you think that the government would destroy the economy to push their own agenda? It's happening right now. Gas prices are up because they want green energy to be the thing. I mean, that's not a political statement. That's just an observation. This is the kind of thing, that's an example of what he's speaking of here, is that they don't care for people. They don't care if you're paying more. They just care that they're their own aim is met. It's not about you, it's about them. So religion and government were working against the good of the nation. Big shock. Exactly what's happening today. And the people of the land, verse 29 says in our text, were practicing oppression. Now, one thing we see in scripture is in Israel and Judah, when the king was wicked, the people tended to be wicked. They didn't have to be. They could have gone against the king. But it seemed like the king set the standard. The king made, you know, the way. And so the people were doing the same evil things to benefit themselves. So they were practicing oppression. This practice today is everywhere. People are demanding their own way, regardless of the cost to others. People are pushing on children things that are harmful to children because it's part of their idea of how the world should be. And they don't care. They've wronged the poor and needy. They've oppressed the sojourner without justice, Ezekiel says. So the situation is you've got a flood of waters of wickedness coming in. And all people care about is that they get something out of it for themselves. And so that brings us to verse 30, where it says, the Lord sought a remedy for that. The Lord has chosen to use men. And if men will not obey God, then we pay the consequences. So in verse 30, the Lord says, I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall, stand in the gap before me for the land, so that I would not destroy it. But I found no one. Now, the result of that was that verse 31, he poured out, thus I poured out my indignation on them. I consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their way I brought upon their heads. You see what the Lord does in judging our nation and all nations that forsake him? He just gives us over to what we're doing. He says, I've brought their way upon their own heads. He doesn't have to make up something new. He doesn't have to rain asteroids from the sky. He just has to give us, just go, okay, go ahead and finish it off then. You're destroying yourself. Go on with it. This is what we're seeing going on. And he says in this environment in Ezekiel that if he just would among the people find one man to remedy it. Now, the mention of a wall, the pictures of a broken down wall. A wall is what was put up around the cities in that time, always to keep evil out, to keep marauding armies out. So you put a wall up, you put a gate in the city wall, and these things were guarded and they were kept up, and that kept the city secure. So this broken down wall means that, you know, you got a free and open flow of evil into the city. You're not blocking off things which should be kept out. So the wall is broken down. So the Lord looks for a man to build up the wall, which means, you know, put the standards back up. Keep evil out. Make a stand. Act like you care about God's holiness and you're against wickedness. So to take a stand, build up the wall. And the Lord looks for a man to build up the wall. Now, the walls didn't fall down on their own. They've been knocked down. And not from outside, but from inside. So he says, are you looking for somebody to put the walls back up? To put the resistance back up, to stop the evil from flowing in. And he found no one. The Lord wanted to turn judgment away. Just stand in the gap. Put up the foundations again. You know, put up the wall. But people today want evil to flow. They don't want evil to be stopped. They want evil to flow. You start talking about stopping some kind of sin, people go crazy. They want to do it more. They want to protect it more. And this is why they're in danger. This is why they were destroyed. Is that there was no gatekeeper functioning to keep God's law before the people, to please God and to keep out the destructiveness of sin. And there was no interest in restoring that. I found no one. So let me speak a little bit on the condition of our nation. Again, this is not a political thing, although it touches politics. The President of the United States this past week made a call to all parents in this country. Parents, we know, have been commanded by God to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It doesn't matter if they're saved parents or unsaved parents. It's the same law. God's law to parents is bring children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Parents, the call was made to parents who must one day stand before God to be judged for their behavior toward their children, whether they were instructed or not. He made a call to parents who are to train up a child in the way they should go. When they're older, they will not depart from it. He made a call to parents who are to truly love their children in the manner of biblical love, which is defined by God. He made a call to parents who are to communicate to children what it is to know God and to seek to have them know the Lord and to communicate the law of God to their children. He made a call to parents whose duty is to establish their children about who they are and who they are not, and to give them a secure and confident knowledge of how God has made them. It's like when I went crying to my mom one day when I was a kid and was upset because no adult was named Scott. And here I was named Scott, and I had to go through life and there's no adults named Scott. And she said, there's plenty of adults named Scott. So she talked me down off the ledge. That's what parents do. This is where the president, this is the people that the president made a call to. He made an exhortation to. He told parents who are ruled by God, he had a message for them. These parents, responsible for children, raise them. These parents, and this was the message that our president gave, that parents should affirm their teens' trans claims. That parents should, if their son says they're a daughter, should just go along with that. That's what the president of the United States told parents to do. If your daughter feels like she's a son, then the president of the United States said, affirm that. You actually are a son. Now, did he give this message, I think we can ask, by commission from Almighty God? Is he speaking God's words after him? Well, he did not present with this exhortation to parents, a permission slip from the Lord, excusing parents and children for violating his will by denying how he made them. He didn't do any miracles to show that he had the authority from God to make new revelation. He did not open a Bible up and expound how there are more than two genders and that homosexuality has no longer or was never the standard of God. He did bring on the recent Jeopardy champion, who is a man pretending to be a woman. And he just was crowned the woman with the most money won on Jeopardy. But he's not a woman. So he rolled him out as a prop. And this guy said that not allowing children to be taught about transgenderism and homosexuality in grades kindergarten through third grade, and get this, could actually, this is a Jeopardy champion, smart guy, could actually cause children to die. If a child does not know in kindergarten that maybe he is the opposite gender of what he actually is, he might die, the Jeopardy champion said. And so now the left has become protectors of small children. Talk about that in the womb. And this Jeopardy champion said it was wrong to not groom children to consider that their transgenderism possibilities. But there was no message from heaven saying, "This is my beloved president, hear him." The president didn't get baptized on the front lawn of the White House and hear a voice from heaven telling him how this was his beloved son and how well pleased God was with him. He did not explain how violating the expressed will of God would protect parents from judgment. The frightening times we live in, when the gatekeeper, the secular gatekeeper of our country, stands up and tells parents, like he's God, to do something that is exactly the opposite of what God says. This is where we are. One rule of thumb is don't seek parental advice from men committed to killing babies in the womb, as our president is. And many will applaud this and go on to confuse and irrevocably harm their children. And I understand he probably doesn't know what he's saying at this point. But he said it. And kids will most often follow their parents' example. You know, it's a tragic thing. It's good if it's a good example. It's bad if it's a bad example. But, you know, kids will, they'll fall right in line. What parents put a low premium on, kids will. And kids today need gatekeepers who will say no as loudly and often as they need to. And thank God if your parents told you no, told you what God you were going to serve, and didn't leave it up to you, told you that you were a sinner and needed redemption, told you that you were a boy or a girl, if you were a boy or a girl, brought you to church, instructed you in the absolute truth of God. These are basics that we've grown up with that are no longer to be assumed today. And the president's telling parents to affirm their children's trans identity. Thirdly, stand in the gap. You can see the gap is wide. The walls are down. When Isaiah was called in Isaiah 6, the Lord said, you know, a bunch of stuff's going to go wrong. You're going to have a hard time, but I need someone to go and speak to this nation. And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. The world needs gatekeepers. The world needs us to be gatekeepers, because the world is not keeping the gates. Schools are trying to indoctrinate your children into godlessness, all sorts of sexual immorality, gender immorality. They're trying to instruct your children. It's not reading, writing, arithmetic anymore. It's about leftist socialist agendas and pagan concepts. The government is trying to rebuild the foundations of this nation from God to atheism. Disney is trying to get a 50-50 split of their characters in their movies between those who are cisgender and those who are non-binary or all sexualities, LGBTQIA plus, whatever it is now. Disney is seeking to do that. Why would Disney do that? Because a few people say, oh, I'm so offended. And then they just bow over instead of saying no. No is a big word. It's best to tell a boy he can't be Superman before he stands in front of a locomotive. It's best to tell him that he's not Spider-Man before he jumps off a building and tries to shoot a web over the other building to keep him flying. Stand in the gap. The Lord saw for a man to stand in the gap. To do what we can. The encouraging thing is here that one man can make a difference. One person. One parent standing in the gap. We can't worry about how many more will stand. We have to stand ourselves. And that is... that is an encouraging part. The discouraging thing is, in that day when so many bad things were happening to the nation, that the Lord found no one to stand in the gap. This is how evil sweeps over a land. It just corrupts the entire place. My mom was, I've told you before, she was my seatbelt. We didn't use seatbelts. I guess they were, for a long time, the cars didn't have them, and then when they had them, they weren't used and didn't work. But whenever she'd put the brakes on fast, her arm would come over, and if I was sitting over there, and she would hold me. Of course, it wouldn't be sufficient in a real bad collision. But she held on to me. She was my gatekeeper. She kept me in my seat. She put her hand on me and pressed hard against me, and that's what she was thinking about. You want to be a hero? You know, some people want to be Superman, Spider-Man, Aquaman, Flash, all kinds of superheroes. But you know, they may be able to stop an asteroid that's coming toward Earth, or aliens that are about to land, or a ghost that's in your house. But you want to be a hero, stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. Take the law of God, hold to it, love it, and stand in the gap. And do not go along with evil. Let's pray. Lord, may the stand we should take be enough in this day to make a difference. That we would be those who would even be able to deter the judgment on the land by the influence and impact we have. Your church is to have that, Lord. Pillar and support of the truth. God, help us to do it. By your grace, use it that we might build up the walls and stand in the gap. In Jesus' name, amen.